conditions during the time the negotiations were going on. And the night before, the housekeeper phoned and said, like, I'm going to have to be there tomorrow. And I said, well, no, like, we're not really planning on calling you as a witness unless it's necessary. And she said, but my boss asked me tonight, would I please appear as a witness for him? What do I do? I said, you tell the truth. That's all I can say. You have to come and you tell the truth. So when the company's lawyer put her on the stand and said, you know, was union ever mentioned to you? And she said, well, no, he never used the word union, but I certainly knew what he was talking about. I could see the back of the lawyer's neck going red when he realized what had happened. But, you know, here was a woman who actually had was driven to the place, presumably to be their witness, and had to go back as she was walking out. She said, I sure could do with a stiff gin. And I said, I'd like to be with you. He was a very good guy. He did not take it out on her, but she felt uncomfortable. And within a period of a very few months, I was able to move her into one of our union hotels. I actually never did get the certification. The case fell down because if I'd had the numbers necessary for the application, I would have put the application in. While the IWA fellows did try to do some help, by this time there would be enough talk that they weren't able to sign up anyone for either. So we never did get that place.
So the IWA actually went in there and tried to help you organize?
They weren't trying to help me organize. I mean, they didn't even know what they were doing was saying, it has come to our attention, we're staying in this hotel and you're not paying your desk clerk's union wages. Right. So he made the readjustment.
Did you receive help from any other unions or labor bodies in organizing?
There weren't too many that could help. I mean, you would use in a situation such as that. The help we would get would be interchange of clauses, some sympathy from a union that might be having similar problems. I think I can remember the Teamsters, Johnny Brown of the Teamsters, that had a miscellaneous local. And he said he'd kept track in 1 year of how many people he had organized, you know, that might have been, say, like 138 people that he had organized in various small establishments in 1 year. And at the end of the year, his membership had increased by 5. You know, and this is the sort of thing that happens. You organize this place, you get it going, and down the line here, someplace closes up for you lose a certification because the members move away. So it's a never, you know, like these are the people that you talk to because you know you've got the same types of problems. You talk to people who have really, you know, I would talk to other people in the Teamsters who had marvelous agreements and say, you know, how am I ever going to get anything like that in what we've got? You know, there's no way. We would be lucky when they might have been getting a 25-cent an hour increase. In the restaurants, if we got, you know, 3 cents, 7 cents.
Was bargaining power a real problem?
Well, you know, your bargaining power is if you can threaten to take people out. And at that time, there was no way. People couldn't afford to be off work for a day, far less gamble being off work.
Did you ever come up with any solutions for the turnover problem, like maybe having a union hiring hall or that kind of thing?
No, that was not the solution as we saw it. Please believe me, employers were phoning us for people. They always phoned us for people when we didn't have any bodies, and when we had bodies, they didn't need any. You know, it never seemed the odd time. You were very fortunate. We did. Have a rapport with some people who are managing to do that. I think the lack of, you know, the to get away from turnover is to set up pension plans, health plans, and to have a decent wage that a person can afford to stay in a job. And I think this is, you know, this was being proven towards the end. I think that eventually I've heard in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years about people who have got 25-year pins for working in the same establishment that length of time. But certainly that was not a fact during, you know, the 12 years that I worked with them.
What kind of attitudes during that period of the 1950s were there towards women's work and the right of women to have jobs? And did those attitudes in any way affect the ability to unionize?
Well, it was just, it was women understood that maid's work and waitress work and maybe some hotels, desk clerk's work, possibly not the graveyard shift, but this was just, they weren't awake any more than when I first came to the government. Women were aware of not getting the same wage, or I say that. Women kept telling me that they had quit jobs and they were replaced by men who always paid, got more money. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a question of equal pay. It was a question that they just weren't being paid enough and that they always did that much more. And then after they left the job, management found out that either they had to hire two men to replace them or they hired a man and paid them a lot more money.
Were there any political organizations that worked in the union at all, at the CCF or Communist Party?
During the period of time that I was there, the people who were suspected of having communist leanings had probably left and had been taken away, or the union had been disbanded, or they got rid of them. Certainly, when I started out, it wasn't the NDP, it was the CCF. And I can well remember going to the merger meeting put on by the Trades and Labor Council, of a meeting, a weekend seminar, to bring CCF people and unions together. I just happened to mention this a while ago, because one of the Grace McGinnis was at that meeting, and the man I remember best of all, because it was the first time I ever stopped to think about terms, was Pat Burns. And Pat started to talk about baseball, and then said, will everybody think of what strike means? Then said, how many people thought of baseball? And how many people thought of economic pressure? And that was it. The people who had been CCF people, in many cases farmers from the prairie sitting there after his talk about baseball immediately, you know, this, it did not occur to him, to them, that strike meant economic action. The union people weren't misled, not, you know, so he showed to the people that day how far apart they were and how we didn't even understand the same word. I personally have to admit that I was rather put off by the people who were representing the union, the unions at this meeting, because I felt they were opportunists, and I very old-fashioned about these things. You know, I'm still old-fashioned enough to believe that you elect your friends and defeat your enemies, but that's gompers that, you know, I was brought up on. So I find it very difficult to see the interrelation. I never really felt that unions should be involved in politics. I never felt the civil servants as a mass. I never felt that at any time in the union that I could produce a yes vote for any particular party, and felt that it would be very wrong for me to say that I had the right to do so. While they said people can opt out, I know that if you opt out of anything, you become a different sort of person. But the only thing I'm in favor of is women being elected. And that I put my money where my mouth is, and have supported women in different parties because I think that's something that's very necessary.
Do you have- Do you have anything else you'd like to say about your experience?
Well, I would say this, that I wouldn't have the job that I got if it hadn't been for my experience in the trade union movement. I've been very disappointed, but not surprised when I go into schools and find that young men say, well, they want me to tell them which is the best union, and the young woman gets up and says, do I really have to belong to a union? Why should I have to join a union? And my answer is, of course, you know, that you don't have to belong to a union. If you're capable of getting up by yourself, setting a wage rate, but you'll still be dependent upon a union because you're going to use their base rate, so somebody else is going to be paying for you. But it is there that unless women are exposed at home through brothers or sisters, someone like this in a union, they have great difficulties in understanding it. And I don't think there's enough taught of the importance. Now, I certainly see more young women that are involved, and I think, you know, things are changing. But I don't see great changes in the school. Still see. I'm not exposed maybe as much to talking on that level today as what I used to be. But, I still find that unionism is not really understood. It's sort of the thing you don't really want to do unless you have to. You know, this is the way some of them feel. They really believe, like they believe they're going to grow up and get married and never have to go back to work again. Or they also believe that, you know, why worry about a union? And I could probably do as well by myself.
Okay.